It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on whatever time you're tuning in. It is Saturday, August 12th, 2023. Oh, 3 weeks away in vacation. I am Don Tony. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. I am up here to discuss some interesting things that have gone down in the world of pro wrestling over the last few days. SmackDown especially. We will talk about it. If you saw the thumbnail, Oos drops a deuce. Deuces out. Oos is deuces. All right, slow down, cowboy. A lot of people think that they know exactly where this is going. These are the same people that a week ago said that Jimmy Uso was returning to the bloodline. Not so fast. So we'll talk about it. But, you know, probably the most interesting, and I don't want to say what happened with the Usos last night wasn't interesting. I will say this. Some people out there feel that WWE's jumping the shark now with the bloodline, that this is getting a little bit ridiculous. You know, how do you go from, you know, trying to become the undisputed WWE Universal Champion? Your brother kicks you in the face, you lose. Your brother gives you a pretty damn good excuse, and then suddenly, I'm out. I'm out of the bloodline. I'm out of the WWE. Like, why? You're like, let's take a step back and think, no, of course it's mind games, but let me show you something that came out today. This is the Survivor Series poster that WWE put out this morning. Take it for how you want, but Jey Uso is on that poster. Interesting, we don't see Roman Reigns. Interesting, we don't see Solo Sikoa. But that is a poster that WWE put out this morning for Survivor Series. But look, we'll dissect it. For me yesterday, you know, we did the watch party. Now, I got to be honest with you. The numbers yesterday was pretty much what they were back in February. So I don't know if they're going to continue beyond last night. I counted about 75 people this week that said that they were coming and did not show. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, people want something and then you give it and then they don't want it. You know, it's like a little kid. Mommy, I want this. I want this. And you buy it and the kid's like, I don't want it. So, but yesterday during the watch party, we were watching what went down with Austin Theory and Santos Escobar, because this was your hyped match for the last couple of weeks. Austin Theory versus Santos. All the reports were was that Rey Mysterio was supposed to lose to Santos clean, but because of the whiplash, they had to end the match a little bit differently. I got to be honest with you, after watching yesterday's match, I almost feel like Rey Mysterio probably was supposed to be the one to win the match 2 weeks ago, unless somebody had a creative epiphany in the last 7 days, and WWE doesn't have that track record to change things up that dramatically. But we think we're getting this match yesterday, and Santos Escobar, you know, does a Nancy Kerrigan with his leg. Actually, Austin Theory playing Tonya Harding smashes Santos Escobar's leg backstage. My leg, my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack. He can't compete. And then we think he's out of the match. And right away, I'm saying to myself, man, could you imagine if Austin Theory comes out there and says, man, I was ready for a match tonight. Give me somebody. Give me anybody. And I was like, wow, how cool would it be if LA Knight were to come out and challenge him, beat him for the belt, crowd would go fucking bonkers. It's an easy way to get LA. And yes, I am one that has said LA Knight has not had a lot of high profile wins on TV. But you want to know something? In recent weeks, maybe month and a half, neither is Io Sky. Io Sky lost to Zelina Vega. Io Sky lost repeated. Remember, help me. Remember when Bayley ran off when she saw the shots here? Help me. She lost multiple times, and she's women's champion. Nobody has a problem with it. So if you, LA Knight, it would have been an easy way to go to the next level. Now, on Wednesday night, Dynamite, we were talking that Rey Mysterio is cleared, that Rey was okay, showed up at NXT, you know, in support of Dragon Lee. That was a great match. I enjoyed it. But, you know, I was saying, oh, man, how was it? And then we get LA Knight versus Top Dollar. And I'm like, motherfucker, LA Knight's not getting that match. So then we see a little bit later on Santos Escobar telling Adam Pearce, you know, I think I could go. And Adam says, you're cleared, but, you know, you sure you could go? Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm saying, okay, I think Austin Theory retains, but it kind of gives a little bit of Santos Escobar, not fully 100%, loses, but puts up a valiant effort. Crowd loves it. Then he comes out for his match, and Austin Theory clips him with the leg, clips him. So Santos Escobar cannot compete, and we're watching, and all of a sudden, I see Ray holding his jacket. I'm like, no, I don't want Ray to win this belt. I'll tell you why in a minute. It's nothing to do with Ray. But Ray is like looking at Austin Theory, and Adam Pearce is out there. And Adam Pearce is like, we promised everybody a match. We're going to give them a match. Rey Mysterio hits the ring. And while we're watching it in a watch party, I was like, well, there goes LA Knight's chances of winning the United States title for the foreseeable future. Because LA Knight is not going to dethrone Rey Mysterio. In fact, what's probably going to happen is Santos Escobar, once he is healed, Rey Mysterio will give him his championship opportunity. And as we always talk about, you know, WWE likes to go to scenic route. WWE likes to go to scenic route, not just with the bloodline. They've done it over and over and over again. And Austin Theory, you could see it a mile away. Next week, he comes out. I deserve a rematch. I wasn't prepared for Rey Mysterio. That's not fair. Blah, 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 blah. You don't treat the United States champion that way. And then we could end up a three-way match. And wouldn't that be something if they put the fucking belt right back on Austin Theory? Listen, in the previous era with Vince McMahon, you know, there would be people that would have a title that you couldn't stand. You felt that they did not live up to the expectations of being a champion. And they would drop the title and you'd be like, oh, thank God, let's move on. And then 2 weeks later, you hear Jim Ross, son of a bitch. You know, so anything is possible. But, you know, listen, putting the fact that LA Knight is not going to be fighting for this United States Championship anytime soon. That's a cool moment, man. You got both Mysterios being champions. Someone asked me yesterday, do I think Dominic and Rey would try to unify those titles? I hope not. I do not want those titles unified. I do not want to see one singular championship in NXT for the men. But you got to start, you know, after last night, I started thinking about it overnight. I was brainstorming, and I'm like, you know, in this world of pro wrestling in 2023, you know, the men, the women, everything's got to be equal. Of course, TV time is not equal. But if the men have a belt, the women have to have a belt. If the men have two belts, the women have to have two belts. And I'm saying to myself, geez, they got rid of the women's tag team championships. You still have the men's. Okay. The men have two singular championships, and the women in NXT only have one. So the men have four belts in NXT, and the women have one. And now I'm starting to think to myself, man, would they possibly try to unify the North American championship and the United States championship? Think about it. North American, United States. They almost sound the same. I hope not, man. Because as we talked about on Wednesday Night Dynamite, one thing I would change in NXT right now is create a secondary championship for the women. Tag team division is terrible. No question. Tag team. Actually, the tag team division is non-existent outside of Lola Vice and a partner, Valentina Feroz. Yes, Valentina Feroz, right? No. Valentina Feroz with Yulisa Leon. Who teams up with Lola Vice? Jordan blank right now. But God33 says bad sound. No one else is complaining, so it's got to be on. Oh, Electra Lopez. Thank you, Ostez. God33, it's got to be on your end. Trust me. I used to sweat in the early days of these videos when I finally went video after 20-something years. And everybody would be like, sound, echo, sound. And I'd be like sweating profusely. I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? Mo says it's lower than usual. Is that real? Really? Lower than usual? Okay, maybe there is a little truth to that. How's that now? Maybe there is a little truth to that. Okay. All right. Let me see if I can fix that. Wow. All right. So props to you, man, for picking that up. No, other people are saying that it's fine. Some people are saying the sound is low. Damn. All right. Let me do this. I didn't touch nothing, so I couldn't have screwed anything up. I didn't touch it. Oh, you know what? Hey, watch. Give me 3 seconds. Is this better? Is this a little bit better? It should be a little bit better. Is that a little bit better? I think it should be, right? Before I go any further, I don't want anybody to be like, it's ringing in my ears. All right, I made it even better. All right, that should be all right. You know, it probably some reset on my sound card because you get the stupid updates. But anyway, I hope they don't unify those belts. I really think that would be a tremendous mistake in WWE. You have to have a secondary title for, you know, the people to gun for. Right now, Tiffany Stratton has the stranglehold. And all those women that are really improving, they have no title to gun for. And on the men's side, Carmelo Hayes, you ain't taking the title off of Melo this soon because it would come back as a major disappointment. So all the other people on the card, you know, secondary title for Ilya and for others, that's something to gun for. So at the end of the day, Rey Mysterio is your United States champion. Austin Theory, what, 259 days? Listen, I say this not to be PC, but I say this because people don't think before they talk. For those out there saying that Austin Theory's run is the worst in history, I got two words for you. Shinsuke Nakamura. With all due respect, I think people forgot Shinsuke Nakamura's recent run. He had the run for like, what, 3 months, and he defended the belt almost never. And that's WWE's fault. I want to make that clear. That is WWE's fault. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, what this spells is no titles for LA Knight for the foreseeable future. That's just a fact. Who's he going to go for? Is he going to pull a 24-7 title out of the garbage? Really? There's no belts for him to go for. So in the meantime, let's just enjoy the progress of LA Knight. That's really what it comes down to. Yeah, Nakamura's IC title run was awful. All right. Let's move on. So Rey Mysterio is now your United States champion. And we'll see what happens from here with Santos Escobar and Austin Theory, because they're both going to get involved. A little confused. And we'll talk about Jay in a minute, because I have a lot to say about that. Oh, And I got to show you something that Rikishi tweeted and deleted. I don't understand this, and apparently it is real. It popped up yesterday in the feed during the watch party, and I was kind of baffled when I saw it. And I did some research overnight, and I was like, wow, it is real. It's something I'm going to show you. And it ties into the Usos and the bloodline and everything else. We'll get into that in a minute. But I was a little confused yesterday. We had Asuka taking on Charlotte Flair. Okay. Now, we knew there was going to be some interference here. One of the persons that we thought would come out ultimately would be Bianca Belair. Now, Bianca Belair did not come out yesterday. We're holding out hope now that maybe she gets added to, hey, we coined the phrase last Saturday, the suit profits. And it was pretty cool to hear Michael Cole did not hear our show. But it was cool to hear Michael Cole call it the suit profits yesterday. But, you know, seeing Bobby Lashley and Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins looks more suave than Montez Ford. He looks like a little chubbier Mark Jackson from when he used to be on the Knicks, if anybody goes back a little bit to the 90s. But maybe Bianca Belair joins them. And especially with the reality show coming up, you almost feel like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But, you know, this is a faction going forward. Interesting to not reference an MVP in any way, or Omos, or Shelton, or Hurt Business, or nothing. So will they cross paths? Maybe it's Survivor Series. I don't know. But Asuka and Charlotte have a match yesterday. The match is going well. And next thing we know, we get Damage Control comes out. Damage Control. Okay. Obviously, Dakota Kai, very cool to see her back. She cannot do any moves. That's why she was not involved in what went on in the ring yesterday. But Io Sky and Bayley hit the ring. And they both attack Asuka and Charlotte at the very same time to call it a no contest. You know, because people get stickly like me, like whoever gets hits first, that's the winner of the match. They both got hit exactly at the same time. Match gets thrown out. And as I'm watching this, and it ends, I'm left with two things. Was Shotzi busy greasing her clippers? Like, why was Shotzi suddenly a non-factor with this? Could she not get into Canada? And the second thing I'm saying to myself is, I still think Bayley will ultimately turn on Io Sky. I think Bayley will be jealous to get that itch to become women's champion again, and that happens. But right now, it feels like WWE is suddenly turning Asuka back more to a babyface and Io Sky more to a heel. And organically, the fans were gravitating behind Io Sky. There was no sign yesterday of, you know, anybody, you know, fucking up in Damage Control. There was no sign of Bayley, you know, like taking a little bit of control over Io Sky. I was left yesterday watching that, and I'm like, man, I don't know how I feel about this segment, because no Shotzi. Bianca, okay. No big deal. We'll see what happens with Bianca next week. But also, Io Sky and how Damage Control was used yesterday. It's like, I'm trying to think someone else. There was someone else recently. Maybe, I don't, would you compare it to Jamie Hayter to an extent? That people expected, that's a little different. People expected Jamie Hayter to break away from Britt Baker and turn full-fledged babyface. And she didn't. She stood a heel. Now they're babyfaces by default because of the Outcast storyline. But I don't know. It just felt like it was organically developing. And WWE's like, I'll show them. I don't know. I didn't kind of like that yesterday. So, all right. So that was, so the match went to a no contest. Something else that went down yesterday. which was very, very cool. We had Edge make a surprise appearance. Edge shows up with Sheamus. Harris says that Jey Uso is officially on the alumni section of the WWE website. That's fine. That's fine. That's all. That storyline, obviously. By the way, Michael Cole made a statement yesterday. I don't know if you saw it after the night was over. Michael Cole said that Jey Uso disappointed millions of WWE fans, and he will be suspended immediately. That's the screenshot when, you know, I gotta say something before we talk about Edge. I really gotta say this, and believe me, no one on social media has brought this up. Nobody, but I gotta point it out now. It was a year ago when Sasha and Naomi walked out of WWE. Do you remember when Michael Cole made that statement, how the IWC and the wrestling community was beyond livid at Michael Cole? Michael Cole was one of the most hated persons a year ago this time. CM Punk said some really harsh shit about Michael Cole. A lot of people in wrestling, even though Michael Cole was just relaying what WWE told him to relay. 1 year later, can you believe how beloved and appreciated Michael Cole is? I mean, yeah, I've been on his bandwagon a lot longer than most, but you know, I was thinking about it yesterday when I remember him with Pat McAfee and he made that statement about Sasha and Bianca. And I was like, wow, that's actually pretty wild when you think about it. 1 year ago, he was one of the most hated persons on that roster. 1 year later, unbelievable the difference. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I just figured I'd mention that. So, all right. Pog, you could say it 1,000 times. I put up my volume, so everybody else says it's fine. I apologize, but, you know, there's really nothing else I could do unless I put my mic on steroids. If I went like this. What? How's that? Is that a little bit better for everybody? Pog is like, yay! Is that a little better? Just let me know really quick before I go any further. Somebody, please. Okay, everybody says it's perfect. All right, we'll leave it like that. Trust me, many years of screwing up, I finally fixed. But what a difference a year makes for Michael Cole. I mean, when you really, like, go back a year and see how hated this guy was, and you got to kind of feel bad in hindsight because he was more of a messenger than anything else. But let me get into Edge and Sheamus, then we'll answer a couple of super shout-outs, and then we'll talk about the Usos. And then we'll talk about a major, major problem that you all are going to have to endure for the foreseeable future about clickbait and Twitter. Listen, I was always a fan of Twitter until the climate really deteriorated. But something that Elon Musk has done now, it's destroying. It's destroying how news is covered. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's a major, and this is not clickbait myself. Believe me, I tell you, this is a major, major problem that you all are going to have to deal with. Especially because so many people now go to Twitter for news, which is kind of baffling when you think about it. But last night we had something really, really cool. Edge makes a surprise appearance. We know next week is the 25-year anniversary of Edge. We find out we're going to get this match next week, Edge versus Sheamus. Now, somebody, I don't remember who it was, but somebody that tunes into our shows pointed out about 6 months ago that Edge and Sheamus had never had a match because we were trying to figure out who could Sheamus feud with next. You know, this was right after WrestleMania. This might have been right after the draft as well. And somebody brought up Edge, and I remember somebody saying that Edge and Sheamus had never had a match together. And last night, Edge comes out, surprise, and he's hyping up his 25-year anniversary celebration that's going to happen next week. And he says that he wants to have a match. And he wants to face someone that he's never faced before in a WWE ring. And he started telling the story about Sheamus that back, you know, before he Edge made a return to the ring, that Sheamus actually helped him train. And they went, you know, cycling. And we knew that Sheamus was very, very instrumental in helping Edge make his return, you know, because they both battled. I think people forget how close that Sheamus was to possible retirement a few years ago. But, you know, he talks, they show footage of them mountain biking. And Edge takes a major spill and Sheamus having a little fun with it. And then Edge shows a screenshot of Edge on his mountain bike and Sheamus on, I think, Edge's daughter's bike or something. And there's footage of Sheamus falling off that bike, but they didn't show that yesterday. But they have a nice fun back and forth, and Edge wants to face Sheamus next week. Now the question is, where do you go from here? Because remember, Sheamus and AJ Styles had that stare down 2 weeks ago, or it might have even been last week. Remember that stare down in the back after the Suit Profits attacked the Brawling Brutes and the OC? So something is going to brew with AJ Styles and Sheamus. But next week, we're going to get a match between Edge and Sheamus. And crowd loved it. I loved it. I'm very curious to see where this goes. You know, who does Edge get a feud out of all of this? You know, some people still want to see maybe Edge branch out to Roman Reigns or Sheamus branch out to Roman Reigns. Neither one are going to dethrone him. Obviously, we know, you know, who's going to dethrone Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40. It's the worst kept secret, obviously. But, you know, in the meantime, you got to do shit. So we lead to the Bloodline and the Usos. One went down yesterday. And I'm not saying this to brag. But again, a week ago, those very same people that were telling you that Jimmy Uso returned to the Bloodline are the same people now that are telling you, oh, yeah, no, they're going to do WrestleMania 1-on-1. These people don't have a fucking clue. They live for the moment. They see something for the moment, and they think that, boom, there's the future. No. That's why we are always correct. And unfortunately, they're not. But I can't wait to talk about this clickbait stuff. This clickbait stuff is not good. It is not good. But before we talk about the Usos, a couple of super shout-outs, if you don't mind. Chris M., Hunter has herpes, a.k.a. Triple H killed Austin Theory. Took all the fun stuff away from him and turned him into a generic heel 101. Listen, I know there's a lot of people that are not feeling Austin Theory right now. There's a lot of people that feel that John Cena was absolutely correct in what he said about Austin Theory. You know, the thing is, and I say this with the utmost sincerity to you and to anybody else critical of Austin Theory right now, I will be the first to admit it. Austin Theory, since WrestleMania, has been as flavorful as water. He has not been very good for Austin Theory. But I watched NXT on a regular basis. I watched The Way. I watched the storyline with him and Dexter Lumis. I watched when he dropped that briefcase, which was the best thing that ever happened to him. And I think people forget when he dropped that briefcase and everybody said, how could you do that to him? What a horrible way to drop the briefcase. And that night I said, it's the best thing that could happen to him. His road to WrestleMania, him versus John Cena, people bought in. Believe me when I tell you, you go back, you will not see, you know, a large reaction like, the fuck are they having John Cena taking on Austin Theory for? They felt it was the present versus the future versus the past. Some people even felt like John Cena was in some ways trying to, you know, help elevate Austin Theory. I wouldn't go as far as say pass the torch. No. Just like Brock Lesnar did not pass the torch to Cody Rhodes. But since WrestleMania, they have done very little with Austin Theory. Could it be because of all the focus on the Bloodline? Could it be because they wanted to try to boost up Grayson Waller? Could it be that LA Knight, you know, stole a little bit of that attention? Could it be that some others, you know, there's only so much room for, you know, quality center of attention on a weekly basis. And I almost feel like because Austin Theory is so young, you look at NXT, you look at the time between dropping the briefcase and WrestleMania, a lot of people were high in Austin Theory. A lot of people were extremely so. If he had that momentum before and he was developing, there's no reason why that cannot continue. Right now, though, I agree with you. Austin Theory, not interested very much, but his career is not damaged because of it. He has not been given quality time. You know, so let's see where it goes from here. Maybe he does feud with LA Knight, but they didn't want a championship on the line. That could be it also. I don't know. But like I said, do not rule out the possibility that this guy gets the title back in a very short amount of time and people are like, ah, fuck. And that gets him more over as a heel. Austin Theory's got so much upside. But WWE has not done a good job since WrestleMania. You know, people could blame it on Vince. People could blame it on Theory. People could blame it on whoever they want. But overall, it's WWE's reason. So I agree with you, man. By the way, shout out to Bobby Means. I wanted to do that at the beginning of the show. Welcome to the family. Latest channel member, La Nostra Familia. Bobby Means says he does think that we are seeing the end of Lesnar's career in the WWE. Will we get a farewell match at Mania? Brock is not retiring anytime soon. Even though Endeavor, we'll talk about Endeavor later because there is some clickbait about Triple H and the board of directors. I will clear that up for you in a few moments. But no, Brock Lesnar is still at the top of his game. Brock Lesnar gets paid crazy money. Brock Lesnar is having more fun now than he's had in his career. And Vince is still around. There's nothing to insinuate that Brock is retiring and just no longer wrestling. Taking time off? Yeah. Hunting? You know, they're getting into the fall soon? Yeah. You know, but there's no sign of Brock Lesnar retiring. And I don't think we would want that, to be honest with you. So, all right, Mr. No Matter What, two questions. Will Triple H be fired from the WWE eventually? Who will handle creative when Vince no longer can? As I splash coffee all over my face, I can answer your question without glasses. I don't need to see. But thank you for the 10 spot. Oh, and it's just getting worse. As I'm wiping the coffee off my glasses, my lens pops out. Great. All right, let me answer this, okay? I guess we could talk about it now, all right? WWE filed an SEC. There was an SEC filing this week. And here's some legit serious news that you all would want to know. The Endeavor deal, you know, merging WWE and UFC into TKO, this is going to be completed in the next month and a half, I would say, 2 months. And I'm struggling here with this glasses. This is not good. This is turning into an epic fail. You know what it is? It's loose. So every time I go to polish my glasses, the lens pops out. And then when I pop it in, it's tons of fingerprints. So then I try to clean the lens and then it pops out. And then when I pop it back in, it's tons of fingerprints. I do not want to get up and get another pair of glasses, but we'll fix it. All right, check this out. WWE and Endeavor today announced most of their board of directors, except for one. There's one spot still open on the side of WWE. A lot of news outlets are reporting that Triple H is being removed from the board of directors. And honestly, guys, that's premature ejaculation. That's premature ejaculation. I know that sounds awful, but that is premature. They're taking something and they're twisting it into clickbait to get some ad revenue. That's what it is. Could Triple H, that's all right. Could Triple H end up not on the board of directors? Absolutely. For those that are interested, for Endeavor, remember, Endeavor has one extra spot on the board of directors because they own 51% of the new corporation and WWE owns 49. technically. Endeavor 51, WWE 49. So there's an extra member on the board of directors on behalf of Endeavor. So the names for Endeavor right now is Carrie Wheeler, Mark Shapiro, Sonia Medina, Jonathan Kraft, Egan Durbin, and Ari Emanuel. Okay. On the WWE side, you got Vince McMahon, Nick Khan, Stephen Koonin, and Nancy Tellem. WWE still has one spot to fill on the board of directors. That could be Triple H. That could be Stephanie McMahon's return. It could be somebody entirely different. Because Triple H's name was not listed, people are reporting that Triple H is being removed from the board of directors. Instead of saying Triple H has not been announced or WWE's undecided about Triple H and the board of directors. Listen, I think people need to understand, you know, what Triple H had with his heart surgery. That is some rough shit. My father had that surgery. You all remember a couple of years ago, he had the exact same thing. He was this close to the Widowmaker. And I see my father, and you could see, and my father's very, very active, you know, but you could see physically how he has changed and breathing and stuff like that. Triple H, the creative side, is a lot of pressure. It is an extreme amount of pressure. And that might be enough, or the board of directors might be a little too much. But here's what you got to be concerned about. Here's what you got to be concerned about. And this is something everybody's got to think about. Seriously. And I mean this seriously. Vince McMahon is the only McMahon that will remain with any ownership of TKO. He is the only person of authority. You could own stock. I could own stock. You could own stock. He is the only McMahon with authority. Now, yes, when it's time for Vince to go, whether Father Time, FBI, personal reasons, when it's Vince's time to go, there's nothing stopping Nick Khan to announce Stephanie or Triple H. I don't think it's Shane McMahon, but then again, Shane McMahon was involved with some Ultimate Fighting, MMA, years back. Wasn't he? Wasn't he involved with MMA? So there could always be a McMahon added later on. But if Vince goes, Nick Khan is the only tie really to the current WWE. This will be a McMahonless WWE. So something to think about. Do I think Triple H will be fired eventually? Why? I don't think so. I think the relationship with the talent is critical. He has a tremendous relationship with a majority of the WWE roster. There's always going to be some people upset. But Triple H has a very good relationship with that roster, and you need somebody like that that has that connection with the roster. So I don't think, listen, if WWE was in a toilet right now and creatively it felt worse than it was before, then I could say, all right, maybe Triple H, maybe you should consider another option. I personally think that if Triple H is ever out of WWE, it's because he leaves, not because people fire him. So if Triple H is ever out of WWE, I think it's by his own terms. I really believe that. Now, who will handle creative when Vince no longer can? Listen, Bruce Pritchard, Kevin Dunn, as much as people don't like them, you know, they're still at the helm. They're still a very important part of what we see creatively. And, you know, you can't criticize them all that much. There's a reason why they're still up. You know, people hate Kevin Dunn, you know, and if you actually ask him specific reasons, they really can't come up with much other than that's Vince's guy. You know, but he's still part of the machine right now, and I don't think people are complaining all that much as far as WWE creative goes. So, you know, the template is still there. Most of the faces are still there, but, you know, That's why I don't think, unless Triple H wants out, I don't think he goes. And sure, what if Triple H ends up something happening and he has to leave and Vince has to leave? Well, you know, hey, somebody's going to have to fill those shoes. You know, we're not on the board of directors, so we can't choose. But thank you for that. Thank you for that. Okay, we talked about that. Will Chisholm. What's up, Don? Have you heard any truth about Kairi Sane coming back to the WWE? Do I believe it? Because I'm seeing some AEW fans bashing her for going back to the WWE, just asking my thoughts. Kairi Sane did a press conference earlier this week, and she said that she is going to be, she made a decision, and something's happening at the end of September, next month. All points are in the direction that she's returning to WWE. AEW fans that are upset are just upset because she's not going to wrestle for AEW. You know, but the thing is that she's got a lot of friends in WWE. Asuka's there. Bayley's already gone on record saying that she would love to work with the Kabuki Warriors. You know, listen, I'm not going to criticize AEW right now, but I will say this. You bring Kairi Sane into AEW, you know, based on the last 4 years, how Tony Khan views women's wrestling overall compared to the men. It was funny because we said it Wednesday afternoon and it happened again. You could have Sheeta close out every episode of Dynamite. You could have Athena main event Ring of Honor. Just because placement doesn't mean that your mindset and your heart has changed. It's just the fact that they do not feel that the women's division is as profitable and beneficial. And plus, Tony Khan, this is his fantasy. This is his world come to life. This is his fantasy shown, you know, for us to enjoy, you know, what he loves. And he was never this gigantic major fan of women's wrestling. He's not sexist. He's not, you know, misogynist, whatever you want to call him. It just, growing up as a fan, New Japan, ECW, Ring of Honor, and others, they were never strong of having a women's division. So his favorites, you see them on a weekly basis. Of course, you want to keep the women's audience, and women's wrestling is good. It's just not a priority. Women's wrestling is not a priority for, and you'd see the quality of storylines. You bring Kairi Sane there. What is she going to do? She's going to come out. She's going to go face-to-face with Chris Statlander, and then a week or two later, match will happen on a Dynamite or if a pay-per-view is coming up. And then after that, nothing. The week after, Alan Abrahantes, or whatever his name is, talks to Kairi Sane, and, you know, she talks, and then a week later, she beats Miss Nobody. And then a week after that, somebody comes down the rampway and has a stare-down with her. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, poof, Dynamite match. You know, you see it. We've been watching it for 4 years. Kairi Sane would get lost in the shuffle there. And even if she got Jamie Hayter, even if she got Toni Storm, even if she got Hikaru Shida, and then what? The bunny? You know, like, there's just not enough. It's just not enough. And when you don't have that priority for women's wrestling, Kairi Sane is a better fit in WWE. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. When I see two matches for the women happen on a weekly basis and not Rampage and Dynamite combined. When I see two on Dynamite, when I see a little bit longer matches and not just because we go in the picture in picture, you know, you'll feel it. You will feel if something is shifted with women's wrestling, you'll feel it. And until then, I wouldn't, if I was Kairi Sane, I wouldn't go to AEW. I wouldn't go to AEW. No. All right. Sorry that you had to contribute a five spot no matter what. Hopefully I fixed the audio. Yeah, so I might, maybe before I just inadvertently hit a lever. It could be as easy as that. All right. I see two super chats about Bray Wyatt. We'll get into Bray Wyatt in a little bit. Everybody wants to talk about the Usos right now. So allow me a few minutes, talk about the Usos, then we'll talk about Bray Wyatt. Okay. Yesterday on SmackDown, as you all saw, we had confrontation with Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. Last Sunday on the sit-down, if you look at the title of the show, first thing I wrote was Jimmy Uso not rejoining the Bloodline. The storyline was Jey Uso was more concerned about becoming champion, becoming tribal chief, than about the Usos. Said it a week ago. It's there. It's exactly what went down yesterday. Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, I'm smirking because Paul Heyman yesterday was so animated. We were laughing. You got to, seriously, whenever Paul Heyman comes out there with Roman, you got to pay focus on his face. Because sometimes the looks on his face, especially when Jay's music hit yesterday, oh my God, you got to see his face. You know what his face looked like when somebody smirks after they farted in public? You know, that's what he looked like. I was going to do it, but I'm afraid I'm going to fuck up my glasses again. But, and then, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. And it was funny because there was one point we started saying it, and then you look at Paul Heyman, and he's like, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. So they come out there. Roman says, Calgary, acknowledge me. And Jimmy Uso comes out. No music. Comes out, I think, from the crowd. And the crowd is chanting, you sold out. You sold out. You sold out. So Jimmy Uso hits the ring. And before Jimmy Uso could say anything, Jey Uso comes out. And Roman Reigns loving it. As both Usos are looking at each other, you look at Roman in the background, and he's got the fake laughing. Even yesterday, after everything was done, he's like, ha, 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 ha. He was like, yeah, you need to do a little bit more acting classes. I'm not complaining, but. So Jey Uso says to Jimmy, he's like, look, before I throw 37 years in the toilet, I want to know why you did what you did. And Jimmy Uso gives him the answer that we expected him to give. You would have turned into just like him. I was doing it because I love you, because you're my brother, the Usos. What would have happened to us if you would have beat him? And Roman is like, what the fuck's this guy talking about? And Jimmy's like, you would have turned into him. You were more concerned about becoming an undisputed WWE Universal Champion and Tribal Chief than us. The Usos. And Jey is confused. And Roman, you know, he's kind of loving it. And we're watching Jimmy Uso. And at one point, we thought that Jimmy Uso was going to low blow Jey Uso. Because they were standing sideways. And it looked like Jimmy was getting in position. And he was going to just crotch Jey Uso. And I was hoping that it didn't happen because I'm like, fuck, then that means he might be rejoining a Bloodline. I mean, listen, when I go out there a week ago and I say he's not rejoining a Bloodline, you know, I'm putting some cred on the line as well. Because if he rejoins the Bloodline, people will be like, oh, you were wrong. But he just leaves the ring. And Roman is saying to Jey, like, when are you going to learn? He's like, when are you going to learn? Like, Jey doesn't get it. And Jey is just had it, and he super kicks Roman Reigns. Solo Sikoa tries again. About Solo Sikoa once again eating a kick to the face. And Jey Uso spears Roman Reigns. And while this is going on, Jimmy's just walking up the rampway extremely slow, so you know something is going to happen. And after Jey does what he does, Jimmy is on the right way you come out on the rampway near the stage area, and Jey is on the opposite side. And Jey is coming off like he almost wants a hug. Like, come back here. Come back here. I can't show you everything because I'll get hit with copyrights. But Jay is telling Jimmy, come back here, come back here. And the crowd is starting to get into it, thinking that they get a hug. But, you know, you saw it coming. Jimmy Uso fucked up Jay last week, so it's only appropriate that Jay Uso, he returned the favor. Oh! Boom! Knocks his ass out. It almost looked like that scene in 10 with Dudley Moore and that other blonde bitch. They're running towards each other. The Naked Gun, when they run towards each other, the couple on the beach, and they just like, Jay runs to Jimmy, Jimmy runs to Jay, and Jay super kicks him, knocks his ass out. So now everybody is popping, and Jay is just staring at his brother, and Jimmy's selling it like $1 million. He's selling it like $1 million. But then we get this. Some people love the twist. People couldn't wait to post, Jey Uso is all elite. Jay Hanoi is all elite. Us is all elite. No. After this, Jey Uso looks at the mic and says, I'm out.
I'm out the bloodline. I'm out of SmackDown. I'm out of WWE. Deuces. Uses.
He dropped the deuce. Us dropped the deuce. He's out of the bloodline. He's out of the SmackDown. He's out of the WWE. Walks through the crowd. And as somebody said earlier, WWE posts him in the alumni section. Yeah, Jay Fatu is all elite too. All right. Jey Uso is not leaving WWE. Jey Uso is being given a little bit of time off because Jey Uso has been working his MFing ass off. He has been working his ass off with this storyline. Roman Reigns does not wrestle all that much, and he's the champion. Jey Uso has been fighting Solo Sikoa. Jey Uso fought recently, main event at SmackDown. Jey Uso went for Austin. Didn't he go for Austin Theory's title not too long ago? Jey Uso has been main event Uso. They're giving him a little time off to rest and relax. So the road to WrestleMania, he is fresh. Now, again, a week ago, when Jimmy Uso super kicked Jay, do you, and I'm saying this with the utmost sincerity, do you think at SummerSlam, the moment that Jimmy Uso super kicked Jay, that people within WWE Creative called podcasters and delisted journalists or text them online and said, they're going to have a match at WrestleMania. They're going to have a match at, no. What happened was somebody whipped out an interview that the Usos did a while back, I think with Ariel Helwani, and they said their dream match is to face each other at a WrestleMania. So now they see Jimmy Superkick Jay, somebody posts that interview, and then suddenly you get this online. And this will lead to my clickbait warning, and this will tie into where Jey Uso goes next. I will tell you where Jey Uso goes next from here. It ties into this. One creative force backstage wants to wait until WrestleMania to book Jey versus Jimmy Uso. That person doesn't have a source in creative. They waited until after the super kick happened and the Ariel Helwani video came out. So now everybody looks at this and thinks WWE is going to grant their wish. The Usos have been so great in this bloodline. WWE has to acknowledge them. WWE has to give them their dream match at WrestleMania. That doesn't necessarily tie into the storyline. So just as much as they want their dream match to WrestleMania, it may not be able to tie in because we're 34 weeks away. 34, not 7, 34. There's a lot of wrestlers that would love to face somebody at WrestleMania. and they're at the top of the food chain doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. But let me show you a big warning, something that's happening right now that you're not aware of, that it's really destroying how news is being reported. As much as I've had issues with PW Insider in the past, now more than anything is why PW Insider, Wade Keller to an extent when he doesn't put his emotion in his reporting, Fightful, and even Meltzer to an extent. You have to understand Meltzer's bias. Those four outlets should be pretty much the only outlets you go to as far as wrestling news. And the reason why I'm saying that is this. For those in audio only, I'll read it to you. But if you're for those on video, if you're looking at your screen right now, this report that came out right after the super kick and right after the video surfaced of the Usos dream match for WrestleMania, look at how many people viewed that post. 575,000. Trust me, remember that 500,000 number, because it's something that you probably are not aware of. And believe it or not, it'll probably make you understand a little bit more why Ryback is so pissed off about Twitter. Ryback will actually tie into this. Look at this gem. Look at this gem from August 6th. As of now, Roman Reigns is not being advertised for any WWE TV episodes over the next few months. That is clickbait. That got 1.6 million views. 1.6 million. We've already had Roman Reigns on TV since this, because we talked about it a month ago. WWE only revealed the TV schedule for Roman, for Cody, and for Seth up until August. This is not news, everyone. This is click on me for ad money. When you hear me every week saying that people are doing this for ad, for a couple of ad dollars, trust me, there's something you probably don't know. But I got to show you two more. Show you two more. Here's one. This one's a great one. This one is from May. Roman Reigns will be working even less dates for WWE as he gets ready for the move to Hollywood. 1.5 million views. You see, the same people are the ones posting this. But each time they write this garbage, 1.5 million, 1.6 million, 600,000, 500,000. All right, here's one on a smaller scale. Now, you heard about Bray Wyatt with his life-threatening illness, which you and I talked about 2 months ago. Look at this gem from earlier this year. You honestly think that somebody who was probably on life support in the hospital wrote this. Look at this one. Bray Wyatt return is up to management and up to him. What the fuck does that mean? First of all, that was in May, but it's up to management, up to him. Who else would it be up to? Santa Claus? Bray Wyatt's return is up to management and up to him. That got almost 300,000 views. Why am I saying this? This post from last week about the Usos, okay? You saw a lot of podcasters especially, like, going on these rants on Twitter about it. And you know that they know what's happening and what's not happening. But they play along. Why? Monetization. For those that don't know, Elon Musk and Twitter now pays people as long as they generate at least 500,000 views over the last 3 months. If you can generate 500,000 views, you get paid on Twitter. So what's happening now, and this is very recent, over the last month especially, what's happening now is you're getting people writing anything they possibly can to make you click on it, to make you at least view it. You don't even have to respond. You don't even have to curse them out. You don't even have to block them. Just look at it. So when you see every time something dumb, like that about Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is not advertised. No fucking shit. We all know that. It's not news, but you write that because it sounds controversial. It sounds like Roman Reigns is taking time off. And look at that that article from WrestleOps. Look at that Twitter post. You know what you'll find on that thread? You will find podcasters that have 10 times the people that I do. 5 times the people I do. 3 times the people I do. And they're all reacting to it like, wow, you know, this is not the greatest time for Roman Reigns to, instead of saying, douchebag, this is not news. We all know this already. They're going into it as well because they want the 100,000 views. Because if somebody is looking at that thread, if 1.6 million people are reading this post, if they read your reply, that's a view. Elon Musk now pays people, as long as you get at least 500,000 views in 3 months. So now what's happening is the wrestling media world, not just wrestling, I mean entertainment as well. Why do you think there's all these, you ever see these car accidents? You ever see, I mean, I hate to say it here, but come on Twitter. You see all these racial fights, black people beating up whites, whites beating up blacks. People abusing animals. And what do you see? You see the same shit being reposted by other Twitter accounts. The same video. You'll see the same video posted by 35 different Twitter accounts. And then what happens? You'll get, they'll find videos from 5 years ago and make it feel like it just happened today. Did you see what happened in New Orleans? And then you see on the bottom from Twitter, oh, this video is actually 7 years old. People are now writing anything they can to get you to click on it because they're getting money. You have to stop. You have to, honestly, you got to block these people. I swear on Jesus Christ, about half of these wrestling sites, these Twitter accounts, I have them blocked because I don't even want it to show up in my feed. Because if it shows up in my feed and I click on it before looking at who the scumbag is that wrote the article, I realize, fuck, I just gave him a view. You got to block these places because they're not trying to give you news. They're not trying to just keep you up to date with everything's going on in the world of pro wrestling. They're trying to get you at any means necessary to click on something. Like, look at this Bray Wyatt one. Bray Wyatt's return is up to management and up to him? What the fuck does that mean? And yet 300,000 people felt it necessary to click on it. So Twitter right now, if you thought the climate was disgusting, it is, expect horrendous bullshit floating around with wrestling. You're going to see things written over and over, especially with the Usos. Jey Uso, they're playing off that he quit. He's had enough. We may see Sami Zayn get back involved in this, and Sami Zayn tries to convince Jey to come back. We may see a video where Jimmy goes to visit Jey. Jey Uso will show up when you least expect it and do something. He'll be in the crowd. He'll pop in. He'll do something, then he'll run back out of the crowd. That's what's happening with Jey Uso. Jey Uso, they are giving him time to rest, recharge. And here's another thing to think about. Jey Uso, they have built him up to main event status. Not to world champion status, but to main event status. They have not done that with Jimmy. The fans are not yet back behind Jimmy 100%. Fans are still mad at Jimmy what he did last week. You take Jey off of TV. You don't have Roman wrestling on a regular basis. Solo Sikoa is the only one, and he's a heel right now. So this takes a big hit with weekly programming. You cover it up with Edge 25-year celebration. You cover it up the following week. They're going to announce a big match for the following week. That only lasts for 2-3 weeks. You got WWE Payback coming up. Maybe they do Jimmy versus Roman. They're going to have to get those fans behind Jimmy in 1-2 weeks. So believe me when I tell you, some people are writing right now that Jey Uso is going to be off TV until WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble. What the hell are they smoking? They know what's going on, but it generates views. So please, a week ago, they all wanted to convince you that Jimmy was back in the bloodline. And we all knew it was bullshit. The Jey Uso thing, they're giving him a little time off. He will return. He'll make some surprise appearances. They will bait him back. He will ultimately, you know, get involved sooner than later. But the idea that Jey Uso will be off TV until the Royal Rumble, it's nonsense. It's moronic. It's stupid, and it is untrue. It is completely untrue. Now, I got to show you something that Rikishi tweeted and deleted, because this has everybody scratching their head. Can somebody look up the date that WWE Payback takes place? Is it the 2nd of September? I'm pretty sure it's the 2nd of September because I'll be on vacation that week. But WWE Payback, okay, September 2nd. Thank you, guys. All right. So Rikishi is doing an autograph signing the week before in California. And Rikishi posted a billboard, like an advertisement for the autograph signing. Now, for those on video, look at your screen. For those on audio, I will read it to you. Just look at the lower left-hand corner of this advertisement, and it says it all. Rikishi will be at the Ninja Exchange Collectible Expo Saturday, August 26th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in California. Now, why would Rikishi, if somebody just went rogue, why would Rikishi tweet this, delete it, and not deny it? Somebody wrote on his advertisement, come meet Rikishi before he referees at Payback. Okay. Do I think Rikishi is going to referee at Payback? With all due respect, after the tribal combat fiasco, I don't want a fucking elder anywhere near my television right now. The elders. Refereeing what? Like, first of all, I do not think Rikishi will be refereeing. And I don't mean this to hurt his feelings either, because I used to love Too Cool. Even loved when he was trying to make a difference. Rikishi cannot move all that well. You imagine this guy going on the floor and making the two count and trying to get back up? It'll look like a guppy out of a fish tank. You have a poor guppy on the floor? Watch him move around. It's like a turtle when you flip the shell upside down. I can't picture Rikishi, maybe outside enforcer? But again, I don't want to see the elders. What are they going to do? Suddenly they found all their tribal weapons out of storage, and they're going to be outside the ring going, no. But why would you do that? Why would you do it? Not only that, even if he was refereeing at Payback, this is a week before. How's about come meet Rikishi before he goes home on the 27th? Like, what does that mean a week before? Come meet Rikishi before he referees it? That's a week later. So I just figured I'd share it with you. He tweeted it and deleted it. And apparently it is a real thing because I did some searching for the expo. Yeah, that's it. I got to show you something else. I know this is going to be a little controversial, but I don't care. I have a track record of expressing how much I appreciate Becky Lynch. All right. Sometimes, you know, not everybody is on their game, but I saw this and honestly, it just, something doesn't just look right about it. Did you see this latest four-pack of wrestling figures that came out? The theme are goats. And I don't mean the ones that eat grass and the ones that, you know, well, we'll keep this show PG. Did you see this that came out? This is the Elite Collection WWE Figures, the GOAT Series, Then, Now, Forever, Together. And this series features the GOATs of wrestling. For those on audio only, we see the immortal Hulk Hogan, who just turned 70 yesterday. He's wearing his American-made T-shirt that he wore in 1983 when he won the championship. He's wearing the green belt. Then you have Rocky Maivia. I don't know why they chose him in the Rocky Maivia clothes, but okay. You have Austin 316. And then you got Becky Lynch. I'm not saying this to be sexist, and I'm not saying this to downgrade Becky Lynch. But why not have, like, Medusa, Trish, Lita, Becky? Like, let's do the opposite. Can you imagine Charlotte, Asuka, Becky, Hulk? I mean, let's do the opposite here. If we see Asuka, Io, you know, whoever, anybody, Bailey. Come on. I don't know. I looked at that and I was like, is that like one of those defective packs where they accidentally, like, you know, mistakenly, like, that was supposed to be Ric Flair, but somehow somebody inserted a Becky Lynch. It's not that she's not a goat. She's one of the goats. She's one of the goats. But I don't know. I'd rather see her put with her peers, the ones who inspired her, the ones who she, you know, like Trish. You know, I think Medusa, Alondra Blaze deserves to be there. You could put Lita if you want, and then you put Becky. You know, I don't know. I saw that and I thought it was a little ridiculous. Okay. So, yeah, yesterday on SmackDown, Hulk Hogan, 70 years old, brother. Brother is not wrestling again, but 70 years old. And he's engaged. And he's engaged. So good for him. Bray Wyatt. And then I'll get into the two super chats that came in earlier. Okay. Something that we joked about, but we were very careful about joking about it. Because once we knew that, you know, his dangers were a little bit behind him, we could, like, joke about the fact that a lot of wrestling news sites since April, it's the monthly tradition. Bray Wyatt's return is imminent. Bray Wyatt's return is imminent. Bray Wyatt's return is up to management and him. Bray Wyatt's return is... And even Kevin and I, last week, or the week before when we did predictions for SummerSlam, we added fun... We were laughing at it. That, you know, you'll see any day Bray Wyatt's return is imminent. Fightful put out a report, though, and it is 100% true. Bray Wyatt's return is a lot closer than what all these other matadatsas were putting since April. They were just guessing. Every month they would throw a guess out there, get a couple of 100,000 views. It doesn't happen. Oh, they're waiting for the right time to bring him back. Do you remember, who was it? Keith Lee. Anybody remember the Keith Lee disaster? Keith Lee was supposed to be part of, what was it? Not Elimination Chamber. Keith Lee was supposed to be on a WWE pay-per-view. And he was pulled. And people reported that Keith Lee was pulled because of creative reasons. And Vince felt that Keith Lee was in no position to compete. They said creatively he was pulled. He was on his deathbed. They were all reporting that Vince had nothing for Keith Lee. And this guy was fighting for his life. They did the same shit about Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt was in serious condition back in May when this scumbag writes that Bray Wyatt's return is up to management and up to him. Now, how's about it's up to the doctors and it's up to fucking, if you're religious, God. I mean, every month they would post it hoping that it would happen. See, we were right. Bray Wyatt is doing a lot better. And he did suffer a very serious illness that I'm not criticizing Fightful, but I did find it a little interesting that they wrote was career-threatening and life-threatening. If it's life-threatening, it's career-threatening, I would think. Like, you just write life-threatening. But it was life-threatening. Now, about 3 months ago, we had a very serious conversation about, you know, health, both physically and emotionally. And we talked about the Bray Wyatt situation, but we never discussed what actually happened to him. I will tell you this, and we brought this up about a month ago. When I saw the news about Barry Windham coming to Queens here a couple of weeks ago for an autograph signing, I thought it was tremendous. It was a title on one of my shows. Awesome Barry Windham update. And when we covered it, I said, I'm totally baffled that no one finds this as spectacular news. The guy was on his deathbed in the winter. And he is well enough now that he can actually travel. And he's doing an autograph signing. Nobody covered it. To this day, nobody covered it. When was the last time you saw Barry Windham update by anybody? Nobody. So one of his relatives reached out to me and thanked me for noticing that he was doing better. And I appreciated that more than anything else. And sometimes you get information and you do not make it public out of respect for the individual. You know, Matt Riddle, great example. Earlier this year, when I talked to his girlfriend, and now they're expecting their first kid together. You know, there were a few things about Matt Riddle that, believe me, I could have brought it up, got a million views on Twitter talking about it, but out of respect, privacy, you know, it sometimes you get to a point where if the person doesn't want it public, I have no position to do it. Neither should Fightful or Observer or Meltzer and Observer, the same thing, or PW Insider or anybody else. And I give props to Fightful for keeping it quiet. Out of respect, you know, just because creatively Bray Wyatt's return with the white rabbit and the QR codes and the Uncle Howdy and all this other shit turned out to be a failure, pretty much, or a huge letdown, that might be a better way to put it. Just because you're not into the guy creatively, you don't start revealing really, really raw personal things about the person. If he wants it to come out, it'll come out. So, you know, it's just a little respect factor. So I got two super chats earlier with regards to Bray Wyatt. I'll bring those up now. First one, who sent this? Where are you? Okay. This is from Sal. DT, a while ago, you reported Bray Wyatt's illness was very serious and life-threatening. Did it end up being the same illness Fightful talked about this week? Honestly, and thank you for the 10th spot, I don't know. Fightful did not say specifically what happened to him. But the fact that they use life-threatening, they probably have the same information. And believe me, you know, the info that I got 3 months ago was not like someone who I talk to on a regular basis. You know, we just sometimes when you express concern for someone, sometimes, you know, and honestly, when you heard it, it didn't seem believable. Remember early on, remember his finger? I can't simulate a broken finger. Remember when he broke his finger and he was wrestling LA Knight on some house shows and his finger was like all twisted? We heard early on that he was going to get surgery on his hand. You go from surgery on your hand to, you know, something entirely different, major issue. Plus, you know, Barry Windham being in very, very poor health, that was a big strain on that family. So the bottom line is, it is awesome to hear the better news for Barry Windham, and it is awesome to hear the better news for Bray Wyatt. So thank you, Sal, for that. Mikey asks, who do I see Bray Wyatt feuding with when he returns? Man, Bray Wyatt hasn't been drafted, correct? Bray Wyatt has not been drafted. You know, the two choices that come to mind, I don't like either one. You know, people were wondering about Edge, like if he had a feud with someone. I thought at one point, maybe it would be interesting to see Edge and Bray Wyatt go at it a little bit. I do not want to see the Cody Rhodes. We talked about that last week. You do not take that chance. You do not take that chance that if Bray Wyatt's return, no matter how emotional, how cool it is, you don't want to take that chance that if it's Uncle Howdy, pardieu, and it's awful, that brings Cody down. You cannot, a lot of people felt that Bray Wyatt brought LA Knight down, made it a little more difficult. And I know that's kind of harsh to say. You do not take a chance of Bray Wyatt bringing Cody Rhodes down. I say no. On Raw, I tell you, the only person that comes to mind for me, and when I hear it, I'm like, oh no, Seth Rollins. Because the tides would be turned. But I don't want to see that either. Does anybody remember Hell in a Cell with Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt? That is one of the worst feuds in recent memory. I don't want to see that revisited. So I don't know. Gruss says Bray and Dexter Lumis. Oh, I don't want to see that either. I posted yesterday in the watch party, for some of you that are interested, there's a TV show. What is it? Anybody know what it's called? It's something FD, Fire Department. Dexter Lumis just appeared on the show. And he's talking, and it looks like he's got like a twin brother on the show. Does anybody know the name of the show? It's something Fire Department, something FD. And we were looking at the clip yesterday. Or you know what? You could just go on Twitter and just type in Dexter Lumis. Is it Tacoma? Thank you, Fred, dude. Tacoma FD. If you're not aware of it, Dexter Lumis just appeared on Tacoma FD. And, you know, some people still don't know what Dexter Lumis sounds like. Go check it out. It's actually a pretty interesting clip. It's you'll definitely find it on Twitter. Not everything about Twitter is bad. Like, if you want to do a little research or find a picture or something, you know, you can use Twitter for that. But you got to be very, very careful, like I said earlier, about a lot of these places, because you got to know in the back of your mind what their motive is. When I know it gets annoying when I say it, but when you hear me saying that these people are just going along with shit just for ad money, there are people out there that know a story is fake, but will still react to it because you'll get a couple of ad pennies out of it. Instead of just saying, guys, don't buy it. So you will see Jey Uso returning sooner than you think. It ain't going to be the Royal Rumble. It ain't going to be all the way to WrestleMania. That motherfucker is needed on SmackDown. Right now, for the next couple of weeks, they pull back a little bit. They pull back before payback. It's WWE payback. You know, just let it play out. Give him a couple of weeks to chill, and then it'll play out. You'll see. Yeah, I remember Sam Shaw from TNA Gut Check. I love his Dexter Lumis character. He was my favorite wrestler for quite a while in NXT, till NXT treated him like shit as well. They treated him like a slow goof. I hate to say it like that. He came off like a slow goof. You know, he never won matches. He won Indy Hartwell. You got to give him a thumbs up for that. But, you know, every time I saw him in action, like he would squirm and swerve and be intimidating. His music, I love it. His music, it plays on some commercials. I don't remember what the commercials are for, but I've heard at least one or two commercials playing Dexter Lumis's music. But, you know, and then he would lose every time. You get beat. And it's like, I don't know, it's almost like, remember Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, and then Curtis Axel? Remember the gimmick that I wanted from day one with Curtis Axel? They never did it. I used to, trust me, if you guys were on my early podcast, you would have probably canceled within 3 months because every week I would bring it up. I wanted Mr. Imperfect. I wanted all the vignettes of Curtis Axel shooting a hoop and getting an air ball, bowling and getting a gutter ball, striking out, maybe getting hit in the head with a pitch. I wanted Mr. Imperfect, and I thought him being imperfect would get him over. But Dexter Lumis is almost like what Curtis Axel was to Kurt Hennig. I mean, this is like, we thought this is kind of like, not the Undertaker, but like a twisted, dark, silent guy, you know, that's very, very just creepy. But they turn him into a goof. And they brought him to the main. You see what's going on now with the way? Exactly what we talked about with the draft. Everybody with these petitions. Bring Indy Hartwell to the main roster. Bring Indy Hartwell to the, give Indy Hartwell a chance. Indy Hartwell to the main roster. And as much as I like Indy Hartwell, I kept saying the same thing. Yeah, you bring it to the main roster, and then what? What are you going to do? You're going to do the same way segments on the main roster? I don't know if mainstream WWE fans are going to go for it like NXT fans did. And what is Indy Hartwell had an injury around stand and deliver time, but, you know, she's been fine for a little while. What is she doing? What is she doing? They brought it to the main roster, and then it's like, and then what? That's why sometimes when you hear people bringing up, oh, this NXT, bring them to the main roster. And then what? And then what? They brought Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. And, you know, I mean, they're doing it slow, but extremely slow. Who knows? Maybe it'll end up being your next tag team champions. Okay. I'm looking at my notes. Oh. I thought this was fake. I thought this was fake until I saw the logo in the lower right-hand corner, and I was like, on Wednesday's Dynamite, they're doing a Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match. Now, I guess Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a video game that's coming out, so it's kind of sponsored by the video game, but the way they worded it, it looks like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match. And it's Jeff Jarrett versus Jeff Hardy. I don't know how I feel about this. Yeah, it's sponsored. Absolutely. I agree with you, Frag. But, you know, I don't know how I feel about Jeff Hardy being in a death match. I mean, I just can't picture him going in the back after all banged up. And he's like, you know what? Give me a Gatorade and an aspirin and I'll feel better in the morning. Like, why put him through this kind of abuse? Listen, Jeff is a big boy. Jeff can handle himself. But honestly, I mean, you know, his charges were dropped not even a year ago. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that he had a tremendous deep addiction again. Why put this guy through that kind of pain? I don't get it. I'm not trying to be, you know, PC about it, but seriously, why put that guy in that position? I don't care if he said, Tony, you know what? I want to do a death match. You know, I would have just said, oh, okay, maybe next week. Tony, you said last week, next week. I know, but we got All In coming up. You know, we'll do it next month. Tony, you know, and maybe he forgets about it. I don't know why they're doing this, to be honest with you. I'm just telling you honestly how I feel. Collision tonight. You know, they better pop a rating. The House of Black versus FTR and CM Punk for the Trios titles. Mercedes Martinez and Diamante versus Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, and the Acclaimed will talk. The Acclaimed will talk. I think the House of Black versus FTR and CM Punk will be fun. The problem with that match, I don't see House of Black losing those belts. Like, what would benefit by FTR and CM Punk having two sets of titles? So I think sometimes main events are great, but this is not Roman Reigns we're talking about wrestling. Like, when you know what the outcome is, you know there's no chance of House of Black losing those belts. You know, you're watching it just for the wrestling, but not for the suspense of who's going to win and who's going to lose. You know, like, you see even Austin Theory versus Santos Escobar. There were a lot of people that thought that Santos Escobar was going to take that title yesterday. You know, obviously the match didn't happen, but, you know, when you can't pick a clear-cut winner, that's what makes wrestling interesting also. I think that's one of the big problems AEW does also. You put Darby Allin against Brian Cage. Duh. 9 times out of 10. Nothing against Brian Cage. 9 times out of 10. Who's going to win? You put Orange Cassidy against Brian Cage. 9 times out of 10. Who's going to win? You know, so when these matches, the outcomes are so freaking predictable, you know, unless it's somebody that I got to see them compete, you know, it becomes passable. Yesterday on Rampage, here you go. Saraya versus Sky Blue. Saraya advances to the four-way match at All In. You got Darby Allin over Brian Cage, Orange Cassidy over Johnny TV, a.k.a. John Morrison, and Alcee Open beat, I think, the Outlanders. So that was your Rampage yesterday. Level Up results from yesterday. We had Danny Palmer over the Brooklyn Barlow, Joe Coffey over Tavian Heights, J.C. Jane over Carmen Petrovic, and Damon Kemp over Dante Chen. Why does that look like Fallon Henley? I think somebody might have gave me a wrong graphic. That's all right. We had the Level Up logo. So I think we covered everything, and we're about 90 minutes. So you know what we'll do for the next 10 minutes? Let's do something that we usually – well, we'll do it tomorrow too. But, you know, let's have a little fun for the next 10 minutes. Sunday night at 8:05, we do the sit-down episode. And what that is basically I show up with nothing, and you ask me questions or comments, and we talk about it. So that's what we do tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. But in the next 5, 10 minutes, why don't we answer some quick questions in the chat? So for anybody in the chat, if you got a quick question, don't just something that doesn't require a hell of a lot of brain cells to be used. Someone asked earlier about Vince. Is it true that Vince McMahon is only going to have about 20% of the stock in the TKO company? Yeah, it's more like 17 to 18%. Vince McMahon will no longer be a majority shareholder. He will be on the board of directors, but even that, Endeavor has one extra vote. So Vince's power is drastically reduced once this merger is complete. You know, Vince will still have a lot of power on the creative side of things. But as far as everyday business goes, let me tell you something. If people within TKO want Triple H fired, just for an example, want Triple H fired, and the board of directors vote on it, Endeavor has one extra vote. So even if everybody on the WWE side says, no, we need Triple H, he's got this connection with the roster, and he's very, very instrumental, and if everybody Endeavor's like, no, fuck it, fire him. Unfortunately, that phone call, you know, hello, and on the other side, you're fired! You know, Vince would have no say, would very little say. Mighty Mighty is asking, what do I think of Dante Chen? If the 1-2-3 kid went to Bangkok and had a fling with someone and gave birth to a love child, you get Dante Chen. Dante Chen reminds me of Sean Waltman when he was the 1-2-3 kid. And I say that complimentary. He's trying. He does the phenomenal forearm, a little variation of it. Dante Chen is not bad. He's not bad. I think he's got to work on his character a little bit. But when I see him, to me, he looks like an Asian version of the 1-2-3 kid. And I say that as a compliment. He's got some tools, but he's still a long ways away. Man, I thought Boa was 10 times better than Dante Chen. Now I kind of feel the opposite. Boa, oof. What, talk about, like, disasters. Psycho's asking, do I think John Cena and Randy Orton retired together? No. No. John Cena will still wrestle once in a blue moon. You know, he is very limited. He doesn't want to embarrass himself. John Cena will still have a match. He's not fully retired. Randy Orton, we don't know. I think Randy Orton does return. I think the fact that they have kept Randy Orton even a topic off TV means they want to keep it as a surprise. If Randy was not returning, by now it would have been acknowledged. It would have been talked about. We would have probably seen Randy make some public appearances for WWE. You know, there's no bitterness between both sides. So to keep Randy completely in the dark, as amongst wrestling fans go, to me, that tells me he will return. Where is Boa right now? Probably on the beach in Florida. It's a nice sunny day. I have no idea. No, he does some level ups. He really has not done that much. He does NXT house shows. NXT does have a few house shows. I know there's a lot of people are not aware of it. When I first started taking notice of the NXT house shows is when Omos was doing them. Because Omos, they didn't just like pull Omos, like he was planted in the ground and they just like pulled him out. Hey, look what we grew. He was doing the NXT house show circuit and you could see Jordan like getting better and better and better. I mean, at that time, he was still very, very raw. But yeah, Boa does a lot of the house shows that they do. Bobby's asking, with cable TV slowly dying, is there a scenario WWE goes all in streaming down the road if the price is right? Yeah. Anything's possible. Pay me. That's really what it comes down to. If a streaming service wanted to pay them a crazy amount of money to have their, you know, Raw and SmackDown on streaming service, sure. Amazon's not out of the question, but not yet. Not yet. Especially when you think of ads. Plus, if you've ever watched a lot of these streaming services, when you watch a pre-recorded TV show, anything that's pre-recorded, you know, sometimes when you get those commercials, you get like 7 commercials. Some of these commercial breaks are a lot longer than what you would get on TV. It would be really, really screwy with live TV. The ad revenue on streaming is handled differently than network or cable TV, you know, just regular television. So it's still a little ways away, I think. Steve is asking my thoughts on MJF and Adam Cole wrestling twice in one night at All In. I have to look at that card. There's still something going on with the contract. I said it on Wednesday and last Wednesday as well. Adam Cole signed that contract to face MJF without reading it first. That ties it in. I don't know what, you know, was written in there, but I think that will come back to haunt him. I got to see. I want to see how this story plays out over the next 2 weeks. Because what you get right now is not going to be the finished product by the time All In happens. They're not going to false advertise, but there is some twists. You know, why would you have him wrestle twice? There's a story attached to it. So I say let's wait another week or two and let's see what develops since then, you know, and go from there. Who do I think is overrated in AEW and WWE? I'd have to look at the entire roster. I mean, Psycho, I offhand right now, I see the problem is overrated. First person that comes to mind for me in AEW is Britt Baker. But she's improved a lot in the last couple of years, but the last 6 months have not been very good. It's I don't know what it is. And the interesting thing about it is that she's dedicating more time now to wrestling than her dentist career. So I don't know what changed in the last 6 months, but to me, you know, it's been, she's really gone in the wrong direction. I don't care how many pops are, and I've been praising her for the last two and a half years. I mean, when she was first in AEW, anybody remember what I used to call her? I used to call her Britt Bella because I thought she was like another Brie Bella. I didn't think she was that good. And I also called her Dr. Shit Baker because I just thought her whole thing was awful. Then she started really working her ass off and improving. For the last 2 years, I've been praising her stuff. But the last 6 months have been a big disappointment. Overrated WWE? Ashanti. Ashanti Adonis. And the only reason why I say that, he is extremely talented. Motherfucker, if given the time, could probably main event like an NXT or... I think the problem with Ashanti Adonis is they're trying to make him Swerve Strickland light and it doesn't work. And what he could do, a lot of other people could do. You know, when everybody could flippy in his style and size, then it doesn't stand out anymore. I think he's not overrated in the sense he's got the ability, but creative-wise, really, what is it? To me, he doesn't stand out, and that's a shame. That's a shame. It's not a criticism on his career. It's just, unfortunately, when Swerve Strickland went to AEW, they really, it felt like they tried to make Ashanti Adonis the leader of Hit Row. Did not. I don't think it worked at all. Omos is good, man. Omos, will he ever be world champion? Never say never. Never say never. But Omos, he's got the right people rooting for him. Undertaker, Brock, Seth. There's a lot of people rooting for Omos. Listen, when we're far past the bloodline, you know, right now, that championship is being treated on a level that was non-existent for the first 4 years that the Universal title was around. It's nothing against Balor or Kevin Owens or anybody else that held that Universal title, but it felt at some points that there was a lot of people that could have carried it. Once the bloodline is long gone, this storyline and this attention and the titles are brought back to a more even playing field, that's when you'll see Omos have the strongest possibility of becoming a world champion. Not right now. Who knows? Maybe he could beat Seth Rollins down the line. But right now, I say no. Villain is asking, if Tony Khan watched the Bloodline storyline, what could he learn from it? The villain asks this. What you could learn from it is you can get away with a lot of weeks without people wrestling and having the fans glued to it. MJF and Adam Cole is a good example of that. The problem is MJF's the devil. He's the devil in sheep's clothing. The devil does not change its colors. Snake does not change its colors. Does not. It could shed its skin, but it's still a snake. So in the end, MJF will turn on Adam Cole. If there was other participants, it could have been a storyline that could have gone a year, 2 years. If you learn anything from the bloodline, you learn it. You could do a year, 2 year long storyline and have many weeks go by without anybody wrestling, maybe a little bit of physical interaction and get away with it. You know, Sami Zayn, a lot of his, what people love about Sami Zayn's run in the bloodline has nothing to do with in-ring work. My dog. So, all right. One more question and we're going to cut it, but we'll continue this tomorrow. Can Omos have a main event WrestleMania? Never say never. Never say never. you know, down the line. And listen, SummerSlam had four main events. You know, some people think the main event has to be the end of the show. They have four legit main events. Omos down the line, who knows? Maybe he gets one of those four main events. Will he close out a WrestleMania? I don't see that. But could he be one of the main events down the line? Why not? Why not? I don't think so, though. I don't think he ever closes a WrestleMania. And that's not a negative. A lot of people have never closed a WrestleMania, so. I do not feel Odyssey Jones should join Bobby Lashley. Odyssey Jones, just because, how do I say this the right way? Bobby Lashley's faction is black. Hurt Business is black. Nothing wrong with that. It's pride, celebration. Just because Odyssey Jones is black, I wouldn't put him in there. Odyssey Jones doesn't have the same charisma. Odyssey Jones is a big boy. Odyssey Jones, I'd rather see him team up with Bronson Reed or feud with Bronson Reed. I don't see Odyssey Jones wearing a suit, having that same charisma. Plus, you got to understand something. If you watched SmackDown yesterday, what Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits have in common is they feel that they have been underutilized, underappreciated, and maybe even some points mistreated in the last year or two, couple of years. And it's time for them to take over. I would not be surprised if the Street Profits dethrone Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens for one set of those belts. But Odyssey Jones has not been, you know, in the Street Profits or Bobby Lashley's he hasn't had that kind of exposure. He hasn't been on the main roster. So no, Street Profits, Bobby Lashley, these are people who feel a little bit mistreated. And that's why they're in the faction, not because they're black and they're talented. So that almost sounds like the Wayans Brothers intro. What was the Wayans Brothers intro? And we're colored. Give me a something like that. Like, that's just, the Street Profits are just misused, mistreated, underappreciated. That's why they have the faction. So, never in a million years ever think I would think of the Wayans Brothers to close out a show, but that's cool, man. When we can do stuff like that, I know we're having fun. All right, so I'm going to jet out of here. I want to thank each and every one of you for spending part of your weekend with yours truly. And if you catch this show during the week, you know, I thank you as well. Once again, if you are interested, tomorrow, Sunday night, August 13th, 2023 at 8.05 p.m., I will be doing a sit-down episode. And basically what we've been doing the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes, is what we'll do tomorrow. So we will have a fun conversation tomorrow. And then we got Monday with Raw. We'll get into that. And by the way, a few of you were asking about the next DTKC show. Kevin and I did a SummerSlam review last week. Crazy ass good. I mean, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's not too late. I mean, we really hit on all cylinders. I believe he and I will probably do predictions for Payback and maybe AEW All In. Not sure about that. Probably Payback. But remember, from September 1st to September 9th, I will be on vacation. But what I will do is I will record a Q&A episode that week, and I'll have it drop, you know, on that Friday, I guess, while I'm away. So this way we'll have something dropping over that weekend. But from September 1st to the 9th, I will be in Florida. So, you know, maybe I'll do a live stream from there, but it's not going to be easy to do wrestling stuff. So, guys, gals, enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you enjoyed the show, smash that thumbs up. It is free. Spread the word. Let someone else know about the show, the channel. Keep supporting the website, dontony.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who also download the audio episodes. You know, I mean, me, as long as you tune in, that means the world. But, you know, when you see, and I brought this up, when you see stats, Chartable, Spotify, iTunes, when you see your top 10s, your top 20s, your top 30s, notice that a lot of these people do only audio only. Anything I do with video, anything that's shared on different platforms, that does not factor in. on those numbers. So in order for us to have any visible exposure, the audio episodes is what keeps us, you know, in the hunt, I guess you'd call it, or on the list. So download those audio episodes. It's free, doesn't cost anything, and it definitely keeps, you know, a little bit more realistic as far as how we're ranked. So, you know, that's a big deal. You know, being in the top 50, top 20, you know, top 30, you know, after all these years, it's a pride thing, but also, you know, it's a big deal to still be able to, you know, be visible for a lot of people. And, you know, Kevin and I doing some special episodes along the way are a lot of fun too. So as long as you keep enjoying this, keep supporting what we do, it's all that matters. I appreciate it. I hope you all have a good rest of your weekend. And I am out of here. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.